This podcast is being brought to you by WXAV 88.3 FM and WXAV.com. WXAV, bringing the best podcasts to you.
And that's a classic right there from the Foo Fighters here on the XWXAV 88.3 FM Chicago, your escape from ordinary radio. My name is Pete, and I'm actually joined in studio with John Street, a news reporter from the Xavierite newspaper. And we are really excited because right now we have in studio one of the most buzzed about Chicago artists in a really, really long time, Nathan Graham. Nathan, how are you today?
I'm good. I didn't know I was the most buzzed about artist, but
yeah, hey, I mean, you're getting profiled in Chicago Magazine. WBEZ has done a big profile on you.
Yeah.
And you just got done with a residency at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn for all of February.
Yeah.
How did that go?
It was awesome. I hadn't done a residency in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So when they asked me to do this, I was like, well, I want to do it, but I don't want to do it where it's just me playing my music every week.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'll get bored of that. And mm-hmm. It just gets to the point where I was like, I'm good. I don't want to hear myself play anymore. So I had different themes every night. So I did, the first night was just a regular band show. And then the second night we did a songwriter's night where I got to pick a couple different songwriters that I really liked in the music scene in Chicago to come and play with me. And then on the third night, we did a blues night, which that's my background is a lot of blues music. So I was like, let's do one good blues night. I can get all that out of me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the last one was just like a huge like rap party where we just had, friends of ours come in and do a couple songs with us. And we were essentially the backing band that night. So we did a couple of my songs, we did a couple of other people's songs that were there, and it was a lot of fun.
It sounds awesome and everything. Yeah. Now, you brought your guitar, you're going to play for us, which we're really excited about, but I kind of want to go back to the beginning first.
Sure.
How did music find you?
I feel like it's just been there, mm-hmm. to be honest. I mean, like, my parents would play music all the time in the house. My dad was like a huge like singer-songwriter sort of music fan, so he loved like Jim Croce and John Denver and, The Band and, Tracy Chapman, everybody like that. My mom was more of a fan of, my mom likes every different type of music. But she really loved R&B and blues and rock music and jazz and everything, so she would play all that stuff in the house. Anything by that came out of the Stax record collection, anything that came out of Motown, anything that came out of the Sound of Philadelphia. I would hear all that stuff in the house. And then my dad gave me a healthy dose of dad rock. So it was like, Guns N' Roses and, Clapton and all those people. So then I went to school, and then of course it was, it was all hip hop, and it was all like, at that time it was like, probably like Linkin Park was probably like the most popular band at that point. So I would hear that too. And I just loved all of it. And I just loved anything that had anything to do with guitars, anything that had to do with music I was in.
That's awesome. And the thing that I love so much about your music is you've taken all those different influences and you're a big melting pot. You can hear all of that. You can hear the singer-songwriter. You can hear the blues. You can hear the R&B. Would you say that is just, you've taken a little bit from every genre and created your sound with that?
Yeah, this was the first time I ever did that with this album. Because I've come up with albums with another band before.
Mm-hmm.
But it was mostly just like blues rock stuff or what I thought people wanted to hear from me.
Okay.
Because I was like the blues guitar guy for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I would have like, maybe 10 seconds of lyrics and then like 4 minutes of guitar solo. And I would, at some point it's just like, that's not what I want to do anymore. But yeah, I just kind of pulled on all of those influences for this album. And, I would be sitting there listening to like Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats. And then I would jump over to like Wale. And then I'd jump over to, anything that came out of Stax Records, so I was listening to a lot of that. And when I started to write, it all kind of fit so well, that I was, doing all these things. And it's like some of the songs are very different from each other, but they all fit in a really cool way. So,
John from the Xavier, you look like you got a few questions to ask Nathan here.
Yeah, I got a couple here. Your music, it's really like this mix of like really like upbeat sounds while you're being very vulnerable lyrically. Yeah. How do you sort of like mesh that those two feelings together?
I mean, that's kind of like what happened in like 70s, like late 70s, late 60s, you know, R&B, right? So, I mean, if you listen to like Stayin' Alive, if you listen to the lyrics of Stayin' Alive, that's a really sad song. But it sounds really cool and it gets people moving, right? So it's like, that was kind of what I wanted. It was, you know, taking these like very heartfelt thoughts and lyrics, but, you know, like, how do I make that danceable? You know, how do I make that like groovy and not just a downer? Cause I, you know, like sometimes I really do like that music. Like there's times when I like sit in my room and, you know, like Phoebe Bridgers and Billie Eilish, that's what I want to hear. But, you know, I know I can't really make that music. So how do I do it the way that I want to, but still be able to do that? And, you know, I've always been a fan of a very, I guess I've always been like a fan of like pop sounding guitar. So, you know, the guitar parts from, you know, like Human Nature or, you know, anything that John Mayer wrote, anything like that. So it was like, I really loved the fact that I can do both of those things and still, you know, it doesn't have to be, because, you know, somebody else that could have been, you know, I love the sun today, you know, that could have been that. But it's like, it's all about a really kind of one-way relationship. So, yeah.
Interesting. Thanks. Yeah, so you cited there, like, a lot of different influences, like the Bee Gees and mm-hmm. Phoebe Bridgers lyrically, and then, like, a little bit of Michael Jackson. What artists mostly do you, like, draw inspiration from?
That's kind of hard because, like, you know, I really do draw inspiration from a lot of different artists. It's not always, it's like, you know, I could say that there's maybe, you know, maybe three or four people that I kind of go back to. And I think, you know, Nathaniel Rateliff is definitely one. Wale is another one, like lyrically. Chris Stapleton is definitely one lyrically. And, you know, I'd probably say like Ben Harper, Tracy Chapman. I mean, just the way that all of their lyrics are very conversational. You know, it's like it's not shrouded in a lot of like metaphor or anything like that. I like those type of lyrics too, but being able to just like kind of sit down and almost tell somebody a story, I've always loved that. I always thought that Bruce Springsteen is really good at that. So yeah, that's.
Now you mentioned Ben Harper earlier there, mm-hmm. Nathan, and some big news broke with Ben Harper and yourself. And Taylor Guitar, would you mind sharing what that news is?
Yeah. So it's kind of to back up on how all this started. I went on tour with Ben Harper in the summer of 2022, I want to say. Or was it 2023? I'm not sure. But anyway, he asked me to go out on tour with him after I met him through my partner and a business associate of hers. His name is Justin Warfield. He's the lead singer of She Wants Revenge.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So yeah, he would be very happy that I'm saying that. so he said, "Hey, I'm going to send your music to Ben Harper." And I'm thinking, "Yeah, right. You know, of course you are." So anyway, we go to LA to play a show and he's like, "Well, Ben Harper's going to come to the show." And then actually Ben didn't end up making it to that show because he had a prior engagement. But he ended up coming to this diner that we went to in Silver Lake at like 2 a.m. and he sat with us and talked for like 3 hours and just hung out with us. So after that, he asked me, "What are you doing this summer?" And I was like, "What do you want me to do this summer? I'll do whatever you want me to do." So he asked me out to go on tour, and then he asked me to go out on tour with him again. So that first one was in Europe. The second one was in like the Pacific Northwest area. And then right before Christmas, he calls me out of the blue, and he's just like, Ben Harper calls me out of the blue, and he says, "Hey, Taylor has chosen me to choose an artist to watch for the next 50 years for their 50th anniversary." So I was like, okay. And he was like, and you were the first person on my list. Can you do it? I'm like, yeah, of course I can. You know, get a cool guitar from Taylor and, you know, get to work with one of my favorite artists. So I got the call for that. And it was like a whirlwind. It was like I didn't hear anything for a long time. And then all of a sudden it was just like, you got to get to Nashville. And like, tonight, you got to be in Nashville because we're shooting tomorrow. And I'm like, okay. So he nominated me for that. And I thought that was really cool. And, you know, there's the other person that was nominated by Zach Brown was Marcus King. So I'm like, a pretty good echelon of artists at this point. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and that's got to be so vindicating for you. Where you have someone like Ben Harper, who's been around and he's so respected and everything, picking you and recognizing your talent and saying, this is the guy you need to watch because he's phenomenal.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's the thing. He knows a million people.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing that I love that he did was he actually, I feel like what he actually did was say, like, who do I actually want to pick and put on this? Because I'm sure that there's label politics and things like that. And, you know, he could have picked somebody off of his label. He could have picked somebody that, you know, he had known forever and, like, owed a favor sort of thing. But he actually picked somebody who could use the publicity, to be 100% honest.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like, it was really humbling. That was really nice of him to do that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Support for WXAV 88.3 FM is being provided by Beverly Phono Mart Records. Located at 1808 West 103rd Street, Beverly Phono Mart has a large inventory of new and used vinyl records, CDs, and cassette tapes. Beverly Phono Mart also has record players, t-shirts, and tote bags. For more information, please visit their website at beverlyphonomart.com. That's beverlyphonomart.com.
How's it going, folks? We're here at WXAV 88.3, Your Escape from Ordinary Radio. This is John Street, and we're here live in the studio with Nathan Graham.
How's it going?
Now, Nathan, you're getting ready to tour later this year with Lily Hyatt. Hyatt.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I'm excited about that one. So I remember she has this album. And I thought it was so interesting because it's just a picture of her face and she's looking directly into the camera. And usually, you know, it's like they, you know, you don't have like an album cover that's just so bold like that. It's just like somebody looking directly into the camera, nothing around them. And I didn't know her music at all. And I just picked up that record. I bought it and I played it and I really, really, really loved it. And so, yeah, it's like I had been trying to get on a tour with her for a while, and then the stars aligned, and we got on this one. So I'm really excited. That's going to be great. The first leg of that tour is going to be me by myself, like doing acoustic stuff, and then the second leg is going to be me with the full band, so that'll be fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
That's awesome.
How did you make it happen, if I can ask?
That would be my drummer, Ian. My drummer, Ian San, he's kind of like the captain of the ship, sort of. You know, like when I'm kind of in my head about stuff and like nervous about everything, he's the one that's just like, okay, just calm down. Everything's gonna be fine. We're gonna get there. But yeah, he's the one that kind of, you know, pounded the pavement a little bit and, you know, like emailed their, you know, Lily's agent and manager, and we actually opened up for her at Oak Park, what is it? Oktoberfest. And so it's like, I got her number after that and I was just like, well, let's just keep in touch and, you know, just talk about music. So then I kind of worked that angle a little bit and talked to her about doing some shows together and Ian and talked to the agents and the managers and all that stuff. And yeah, they listened to the music and they said like, yeah, let's make this happen.
Cool. Yeah. That's the crazy thing. I think, just with the state of the music scene, cause it's all about networking now. Like, what is it like, you know, you essentially have to be a little bit of everything, don't you, Nathan? You have to be the musician, the promoter, social media. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you balance all of that?
Not well. No, I was kidding. I mean, it is, you have to have all those skills and I'm not very skilled with the social media part. So if there's any like social media people that want to help me out. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, before it was, you know, in the 70s, 80s, 90s, even early 2000s, you know, the early 2000s, the height of social media was, what, MySpace?
You know?
And then Facebook came very closely after that. And I remember, you know, like when you were booking shows, you know, the talent buyer would say, well, how many friends do you have on MySpace? I'm like, I don't know, four? I don't know, you know. How many people are following you on Facebook? And now it's like, now it's Instagram and TikTok and Twitter is just, nobody even cares anymore.
Yep.
But, you know, the whole social media aspect of it is really, it's actually really hard for me. You know, and like what goes viral and what people care about and what people listen to. And so it is harder on musicians to kind of break through the static because you're not just kind of, I don't like to say competing, but for lack of a better term, competing with other musicians now in social media, you're competing with influencers that know the trends and know exactly where everything's going. And, you know, you're kind of just like, I got to write a song too. So I don't have, you know, I don't have all the time to like know exactly what's going on over here and what I should post to get people to care about the song that I just wrote. You know, it's like, I wrote a song, check it out.
Yeah.
Hopefully you'd like it, you know, but it's a lot more than that now.
Yeah, it really is. It's like you're being pulled in all these different directions. But for you, like, you know, you're born and raised in Chicago, in the Chicagoland area. Yeah. How has the city influenced your music? Like, has it? Or, you know, like, what role does Chicago play?
Oh, it plays a huge role. I mean, the fact that, you know, there is a Southside Chicago blues sound. And just recently, I figured out that I have that, especially with playing guitar, I have that sound. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize it because I was watching, Ronnie Baker Brooks, guitar, you know, blues guitar player. And I remember, like, listening to him, and I went like, oh, man, I do that thing. I do that lick. I do that, you know. So there is definitely an influence that happened with that, especially when it comes to, because, you know, it's like Nashville has a sound, Los Angeles has a sound, Austin has a sound. New York is kind of like more of a little bit more of a hodgepodge, but Chicago does have a very much like a specific R&B sound that we kind of have with that as well. And, you know, just the, you know, even Fake Friends you just played, like that sounds like Chicago to me.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Chicago record to me. So,
well, not only that, for me, it sounds like a Southside Chicago record.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I love so much is because I feel like the Southside is very forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're always focusing on the North Side, and there's nothing wrong with that, but the South Side has some really great gems and musicians, and it's got a different sound, different environment.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the problem with, you know, when I did come to the North Side and, you know, when I moved out on my own for the first time, it was like the way that people talked about the South Side, it was like this, almost like this foreign place where, you know, you dare not go. And it was just like, dude, it's fine. It's the same, literally the same things that happens down there, it happens up here. It's just, you know, we got White Sox, you got Cubs. You know, it's fine.
Bookies Bookstore is an underwriter of WXAV 88.3 FM. Located at 10324 Southwestern Avenue, Bookies inventory includes new and used books. Bookies also places orders and pre-orders for books not currently in stock. For more information, please visit their website at bookiesbookstores.com. You can also follow them on Facebook and Instagram by searching Bookies Chicago.
Nathan Graham here on the XWXAV 88.3 FM Chicago. Again, visit NathanGrahamMusic.com. Now, off air earlier, Nathan, we were talking about Buffalo Nichols.
Mm-hmm.
Really great musician out there, released a great album called The Fatalist last year. And along with you and the great Rihanna Giddens and a bunch of others, you're bringing more representation to folk music and to Americana music and really highlighting the roles African Americans had in creating this music. Yeah. Where would you recommend for people to go and kind of get more informed and educated about the impact that African Americans had on this genre of music?
There's a group that I tour with every once in a while called the Black Opry.
Mm-hmm.
They are, I think there's about 200 plus artists that are on that roster right now. And Black Opry is amazing. Holly G, she was the person that kind of got us all together. She's not a musician. She's just a music fan. And she loved country music. She loved Americana. And she was just like, sometimes I don't feel safe around things, mm-hmm. you know, in certain spaces. So she was like, let me figure out a way to feel safe in that space. So she scoured the internet and found a bunch of people who, you know, anybody who hashtagged like Americana, hashtag country or whatever, and found all of these artists and put us together. And I think that would be a good place to start. And then also, I mean, just, the only way to really do it, I feel like, is to want to have that information and want to have that knowledge. Because like I'm a child of liner notes. So it's like, if I read something and I see like this person's name multiple times in liner notes, I'm going to go look them up and see exactly what they did. So, I mean, you know, watch those interviews. I mean, like, that's the thing is like, we have so many different ways for people to kind of get interested in artists and interviews and everything. Sometimes you eat hot wings. Sometimes you go sneaker shopping. Sometimes you do all this stuff, right? And they're dropping gems of information, but people only like take the clickable moments. But it's like, there's these gems of information where you can find out where these artists are and like what they listen to and kind of like make of a through line between the artists that you love and probably a Black artist that you never heard of before. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of people that probably have never heard of Big Bill Brunzy or, you know, Lead Belly or, mm-hmm. Lefty Diz, any of those people.
Yeah.
Even Southside people that you probably never, you know, right in your own city. Mm-hmm. So you can find all that stuff. And also there's the Chicago Blues Museum, which is the old Chess Records building.
Yeah.
It's run by Miss Dixon, who is Willie Dixon's widow. And she educates people. You can go there and you can see exactly where they recorded all that music. The fact that, you know, and also the fact that the Rolling Stones recorded their first album there.
Yeah, they did.
You know, so, yeah, there's a lot of resources now. The internet is vast with knowledge of all that stuff. Just start anywhere.
Yeah.
And just pull on the thread.
Yeah, absolutely. John, did you have any follow-up questions?
So, not necessarily a follow-up, but what is your relationship like with music as a musician and as a listener?
It's complicated at times. I think part of being an artist is sometimes you hate the medium that you're working in, right? So every once in a while I'll listen to podcasts because I'm just like, I can't listen to any more blues rock guitar. I can't listen to any more music. I am done. But I mean, you know, there's always songs and albums and things that always will make me feel better. You know, there's always like People Get Ready is probably one of my favorite songs, and it always makes me feel better every time I listen to it. So it's a love-hate relationship. And I think as an artist, you kind of have to have a love-hate relationship with music or whatever your medium of choice is. Cause I think it keeps you sane, you know, cause I think if you just full head on love everything about it, I think that can be kind of naive. And I think that you can kind of get yourself in a lot of trouble. And if you just are just always pissed off about it all the time, it's just like, you're not going to get anywhere and you're always going to have this chip on your shoulder. So you have to have a little bit of a balance.
That's awesome. Now, you know, WXAV, we're a college radio station here on the south side of Chicago. From your perspective, Nathan, what does college radio play in the larger landscape of not only music, but just general media as a whole?
I mean, y'all are what the next thing is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, it's funny because, you know, the musicians and the artists that we were listening to when we were in college are now the legacy artists.
Yeah.
And some of them are, you know, selling out stadiums and doing huge things. Like, for instance, a friend of mine, Drew, he is now the guitar player for Marcus King.
Wow.
Right? So, and, you know, the one of the guys that I went to school with, Mike Burns, he's the bass player for Mount Joy.
Wow.
So it's like, that's, yeah. So that, you know, that's the thing is you're the next up. You're on deck. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, whatever y'all are listening to or whatever y'all are checking out right now is going to be the next thing that's going to be the legacy artists that are going to pop up in the next 15, 20 years, you know. So,
yeah. Now, I got kind of a fun question for you because we participate in an event called Vinylthon, which takes place on Record Store Day. And basically, we go 24 hours vinyl. Mm-hmm. What are the top three albums from your perspective that everyone needs to listen to on vinyl?
Oh, God. Oh, man. Top three albums that everybody needs to listen to on vinyl. Oh, this is so hard. Because I don't want to leave anything out.
You can absolutely, you know, add to it, subtract to it.
Okay, so I'd say the first one is, and this is in no particular order.
Okay.
Axis Bold as Love, because I think that it was a perfect way for somebody to do exactly what they wanted to musically, but still adhere to kind of in the days of you know, like you had to have like a 2-minute song on radio, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get In and Get Out. All of the songs on that album are right around 3 minutes long, except for If Six Was Nine. That's the only one that's like 6 minutes long. But it's a beautifully crafted, I think, one of the best pop rock albums ever. So you should definitely listen to that on vinyl. And the fact that, you know, there's the beginning of that is there's a skit where they, you know, you hear like an alien and then you hear like this weird sound, which is just Jimi Hendrix doing stuff with his guitar. But it was the first time that anybody had ever like saw that,
mm-hmm.
on vinyl, you know, that had been done. I would say Michael Jackson's Off the Wall. And I don't know the name of the album, but it has The Rock on it, and it's Harry Chapin. I think those are the three.
Rock as in the People's Champion?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to look that up real quick.
No, not the Rock, the People's Champion. I'm sorry. Okay. No, it's the song is called The Rock.
Oh, The Rock. Okay.
Yeah, and it has this also has a song on it called Bummer, and it's a 7-minute, like, you got to really be listening to it because it's like a novel.
Is it Portrait Gallery?
Yeah, that's it. Portrait Gallery.
That's a great one.
Yeah. So that's the album that I think those are the three.
That's a great selection right there. I'm a huge fan of Off the Wall by Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
I think it's criminally underrated, but it's so, so good.
Well, because everybody talks about Thriller.
Exactly.
Which, Thriller's a great album.
Yes.
But Off the Wall, I think, is like,
It's crazy to think Thriller, didn't it just turn 40?
Yeah, it did.
That's nuts. Time is a weird concept that I have a hard time accepting. So,
support for WXAV 88.3 is being provided by Northwest Community Credit Union, located on campus inside the Graham School of Management. The credit union helps members bank on their futures by helping them learn about and build credit. NWCCU offers a student Visa credit card to assist students in building credit. They also can provide capital to small businesses. For more information, visit their website at nwccu.com or call them at 1-800-2-BELONG.
And we're back here on the XWXAV 88.3 FM Chicago, your escape from ordinary radio. My name is Pete, and we've been chatting with Nathan Graham, one of the most buzzed about local artists here in the Chicagoland area. Be sure to check him out, nathangrahammusic.com, for all the latest news and information on where he'll be playing, the album, all of that good stuff. But John, you have the final question for Nathan today, so I'm going to throw it over to you.
Yeah, just before you go here, Nathan, mm-hmm. been a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to know, what does the future look like for you musically?
Well, we're actually starting on an EP that's hopefully going to come out later this year. A lot more touring this year. You know, starting off with Lily Hyatt, and then I'm going to do some acoustic tours with a buddy of mine named Joe George. Yeah, just a lot more work. I mean, this was last year was kind of like the, you know, put out a product, see how people feel about it, see how people, you know, if they resonate with it. And I think that we're getting really good feedback from it, and it's really, it has been really nice to hear really good feedback on your debut album. So I think we're just capitalizing on that momentum, you know, that the fact that, you know, just did the video with Taylor and, you know, doing this tour with Lily Hyatt, you know, hopefully playing at Ravinia Festival this year, and, you know, a lot more festival shows. You know, we're doing Midwest Music Festival. We're doing, Midsummer Fest in Andersonville. We're doing this, I can't say the name of this next place, but it's called the Barn Sessions. It's in Wisconsin. So yeah, I mean, you know, a lot more festival shows, a lot more recording. And then I'm also, you know, starting writing on the next album. So yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like you got a lot ahead of you.
Yeah. This has been the longest stretch of non-shows that I've had in quite some time. So I'm really excited to get back into the studio and start writing. And, you know, I have like, you know, voice memos of songs that, you know, hopefully we'll get to see the light of day. Yeah.
That's super exciting. Nathan Graham, thank you so much for coming and spending some time with us here today at WXAV. We really appreciate it. But again, NathanGrahamMusic.com. Go check him out. You're on all the socials, Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah, I'm on everyone except for X or Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing with Twitter. Or I don't know how to tweet.
That's
no
okay.
Idea what I'm doing.
I mean, that's a dying social media anyway, so it's okay. Yeah. So, but thank you so much, and be sure to check him out when he's back here in Chicago, and thanks again.
Thank you very much for listening to this WXAV 88.3 FM podcast. Be sure to visit our website, WXAV.com, for more information on your escape from ordinary radio.